Craig Lewis used to live in the United States and went through some really hard challenges in life, so much so that he needed to get away from everything. Now, most other people, when faced with the reality of everything they relied on crashing down around them, they may lose themselves in self-pity and negativity. But Craig? Bro, this guy's built different. He's lived around the world and learned how to build amazing tribes of people that mutually support each other with respect, friendship, and love. And he's using his battle scars of life to equip others to fight and live on their terms too. Join us and hear about mental health, living the life, and enjoying the company of the Community Cats where he lives now in Mexico. If Craig resonates at the same frequency as you, find him on his site, CoachCraigLewis.com, or email him directly at punksinrecovery@gmail.com. That's punks.in.recovery@gmail.com. Let's listen in now. I guess let's start with how did things go the holidays? Like, I know it's been pretty crazy for people. Did you get to do some cool stuff, or did you stay at home, or what'd you do this year?
Well, I stayed home by myself. I had a cold on Christmas, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I moved here by myself to Mexico with nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I just hung out and I ate a whole bunch of garlic and I played with cats and I just got through the day as if it was any other day, because really in my life, that's what it is.
Yeah, man, you are living the life. You are living the life. Garlic and cats. That's a good combination. It's healthy and fuzzy.
Well, it's better than being enslaved by capitalism.
Yes.
And big pharma and rules that are imposed by those who make money off rules being imposed. Mm-hmm. And I had to get away from that. So I am living the life, but the life I'm living is the life I'm living because I chose to truly live, not just stay alive.
Right.
Not just stay alive.
Right. No. Well, that's good. And I've got quite a few friends. I'm making more of these kind of friends that are, you know, kind of on the libertarian independent side of the political spectrum. And, you know, I guess the cool kids are saying that we're woke, we're red-pilled, you know, we're figuring things out and we're seeing like, there's some crazy stuff here. And, you know, these rules are in place for that particular reason. Like you said, people are benefiting from it. And it's like, well, that kind of sucks. You know, that's part of the reason why I became an entrepreneur is like, you know, I'm trying to like get out from under a lot of these rules and the perceived stability of life that comes with that. And it's like, nah, I'm gonna forge my own path, man. I'm gonna do my own thing. And it sounds like you've done your own thing too. So what does your company do? Like, what do you do? And what's the name of the company anyway? I forgot to ask about that.
Well, that's funny. It's all very funny that these are the specific questions, and I'm glad I have them in advance.
Yeah.
Well, I have a company.
You're not supposed to say that out loud. We're supposed to make it seem like this is unscripted. I'm kidding. No, we've got, we definitely do have questions in advance. So, and that's fine. I mean, I love to have guests be prepared, you know?
when you have a podcast of a certain nature, when you do something of media of a certain nature, it's actually a great sign of your passion and of the foundation with which you're doing what you're doing to prepare properly. And you forced me to prepare properly. And so that's how I know that what you're going to ask me the question is, what does my company do? And I was going to say something to the effect of, well, that's a funny story because I don't really know it now, but here's the answer.
Yeah.
Like, what is the name? I mean, I don't even know, man. Like, I ended up in Mexico, like some of these other people you may have been coming across, because life back home was not sustainable for me, considering how we are as people and how we treat each other. And I just couldn't really handle that anymore because I'm different. I've always been different. I've always had to, not just had to, I always wanted to, I needed to, you know, play drums to my own beat. Mm-hmm. And because I had to create all sorts of things from the bottom up, I'm definitely a bottom-up activist, and I'm definitely an innovator. And what I am more so is a very destructive entrepreneur who is disruptive, not because he wants to be, but because he is innovative. That's the best answer I can give you right now, yeah. With the exception of saying, initially, the company I was working on was called the Better Days Recovery International. And, well, life collapsed in the past 5 years. And so it definitely is international. I definitely am living better days. And beyond that, I'm just waking up in the morning and doing what I do each day and having a good experience to the best of my ability.
I love it, man. I mean, that is the spirit right there. You know, when you're really living your life on your own terms and you love what you're doing and you wake up with that fire, that drive every day to just live out your passion and not, I guess it's really not just, you're not building somebody else's dream. You know, you're not working for a paycheck. That is really something. I've got a big smile on my face. I turn my video off to save on bandwidth for you, but I'm like, this guy gets it. So that's really awesome, man. I love it.
Thanks. Yeah.
So how did you, what was it that kicked it off? Like, I know there's a story in here. So like, what made you decide to start this up?
I'm 46 years old. And in 1988, some really, really, really bad things happened to me. Mm-hmm. And then in 2013, I found out what those really bad things were, meaning from 1988 until 2013, there were things about my life that I was not aware of, mm-hmm. and that was contributing to my chronic dysfunction. So by 2015, I had liberated myself from certain things, and just to say it nicely, I was abused as a child, mm-hmm. and I was treated for mental health issues I didn't have with pharmaceuticals, and it made me very sick. And as I stated a minute ago, in 2013, that changed because I obtained my documentation, and it stated, yep, Craig was abused since he was a kid. He was given psychiatric drugs to make him sick. And well, as of 2015, I've no longer taken those pills. And as you recall, I just told you a minute ago, and your listeners, that my life has collapsed in the past 5 years. So how did I decide to start up what I was doing? I went to school in the late mid-2000s because I was just a walking human disaster who didn't know how to take care of himself properly, wasn't emotionally mature, didn't know how to really take care of much of anything. And really, that wasn't my fault. That's my parents doing, and that's what happens when you are, you know, diagnosed with a condition you don't have and treated for it for 28 years. Nevertheless, I decided I was worth living. I was worth being happy, and I was going to do whatever I had to do to make that a success, to make that a reality. And so in the mid 2000s, you know, I went for broke and I already had nothing. And so I found out about getting some vocational training, and that vocational training ultimately resulted and me becoming trained to become a mental health worker, in particular, a mental health worker who taps into their personal lived experience, the trauma, addiction, mental health, life, et cetera, in order to help the people that I'm being, you know, hired or paid or volunteering to work with. And as part of that educational process, I was required to have an internship, and part of the internship was to produce something that would benefit people at a rehabilitation center. And so I created a curriculum called Better Days, which is a peer support group where people can talk about their issues and work through them and create a better life for themselves. And over the years, I've volunteered in different spots, getting a volunteer support group for people who want to build a better life for themselves, but also I did it professionally. And ultimately in 2013, my whole life sort of got turned upside down, and I had the opportunity to publish the curriculum that I created just, you know, on a whim. It was never intended to be sold at a store. It was never even considered to be a product. It was just a thing I did. Internship, then volunteer to help people. And, well, frankly, when I had the opportunity to self-publish, because it was the internet age, I self-published this book, a workbook, a guide in 2013, unaware that I created something that globally was going to be desired and welcomed and wanted. And well, now it's in 11 languages.
Man. So you kind of stumbled across it. You said you ran across something that ended up helping a whole lot of people. That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. United States is not a friendly place to people like me. You can innovate, but when you were disruptive to the system, simply because you're creating something of great value, there will be a pushback. There will be a massive pushback. And depending on who you are and what your history is and what money you have and what support you have, you can very well end up in the situation I did, which, well, we're going to get to that in a second, but it wasn't so easy. And I'm just grateful that I'm here right now speaking with you and doing what I'm doing.
Well, I'm grateful to have you on, man. You know, what I've heard, you can bear this out, you know, the people that have the biggest hearts to help others seem to have the biggest scars in their own lives, you know, and we can look back on our lives and say, man, I really got hurt bad. And there are some people, some special people, and it sounds like you're one of these guys where instead of just taking that hurt and carrying it with them like a bunch of mental baggage, you actually turn that negative energy into a positive and be like, all right, how can I use this to fuel my drive to help other people? Is that an accurate assessment of you, or am I way off base?
That is an accurate assessment of me, and you are completely on base. You just scored a grand slam.
Woohoo! Yeah, I stuck my hands up in the air, and I'm like, touchdown! So awesome. I love it. Well, like, what have you, like, overall, are there things that you have learned about yourself as you go on this journey? And if so, what are they?
Well, you know, in 2015, my whole life did collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not had a real day job since. And now it's 2021, right? And so what did I learn about myself? Well, just to put it in context, at the beginning of 2018, there was no future for me left in the United States because I couldn't get a job. There's other reasons why, but I just bought a one-way ticket, plane ticket to Europe, and I spent a year and a half without a place to live, living in Europe and living, you know, in squats and like staying with girlfriends that I meet and friends. And I actually traveled throughout the entirety of the European continent about 15 times. And over the course of this journey, I learned many things about myself, and this is just a fun story to tell. I know you're asking for some specific things, but this is how it is with me. I traveled to 30 or so different European countries while I was living out of a tote bag or a backpack with nowhere to return to in the United States,
mm-hmm.
giving either volunteer or like by donation, empowerment discussions all over Europe, and additionally in about 14 countries, working professionally, training mental health workers, using my curriculum, which ultimately, as I stated earlier, has been translated to 11 languages. So what I've learned about myself is that when the whole world caves in, as it did, and there's nobody who's going to come save you because ultimately you don't want to be saved by somebody else, no matter what happens to you, you need to save yourself. The people who are saved by others, maybe it's a life-saving thing that happens. I didn't get that opportunity. I had to just fall and crash with no one to help me other than me. So that put me in a very unique situation. And so I decided I was worth it. I learned that I was worth it. And by leaving the United States, after 3 days of being in France, and I had been to Europe many times because I've been trying to build something for a long time, but by 3 days of living in being in France, knowing I had nowhere to return to and no return ticket, I realized that people liked me, that I was appreciated and valued and wanted, and that the fact that I spoke English and most people didn't, but they liked me, meant that the things that were going on with me that weren't so pleasant, the issues that I was facing back home in the United States, they didn't exist with people who didn't know what they were, didn't know anything about it, and I could just be known for who I was and who I am. And that's what you learn when you're living and working with people you can't speak with. Mm-hmm. Don't even have the time to, you know, look you up and try to understand and Google Translate. They're just meeting you. And that's what happened. You meet somebody, they see you. You feel validated because they actually see you. You know, they see who you are because you can't really communicate properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that who I was seen to be was who I actually was. And that right there was the beginning of everything else that I've done in my life.
Man. You know, it strikes me that it takes a ton of mental strength for someone to come to that conclusion that you're worth it, that you have value. And there are lots of people I know personally that have to have that message drilled into them because they just don't believe it, you know. And even with a big support network, you got to kind of keep like pumping them up, like, you got this, come on, you got this. And you didn't have anybody, and you were able to come to that conclusion and realize that people will value other people. The right ones will value other people. And you're building, essentially, you've built your tribe simply because, like you said, with the language barrier, it's like people don't have time to look up my history, and I'm right here, and they like me for me, and they like you for you. You're a special guy. You're a special guy, Craig. I never know coming into these where, like, who I'm going to meet and, like, what's their story, but you are a special guy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I both rode the short bus when I was a kid, and and I also wear a crown on my head, and I make sure that even though it's not a like solid gold circling my top of my skull encrusted in jewels, that I ensure that the people who I come across, that to the best of my ability to put myself out there energetically in a such a way that allows people to connect with me, you know, regardless of language or other you know, imposed barriers, that they can see me for who I am. So I walk around and I conduct myself as much as I possibly am able to, viewing myself in a certain way because I want to have healthy, happy, you know, loving, honest connections and relationships with people. And if you want to have that, you have to do your part. And part of living a happy life is, well, frankly, it's choosing to be happy. And that's what I do. And I'm going to help people however I can learn that as well. And I'm taught that by people every day. I mean, I live in a mountain in the south of Mexico. I moved here with just a backpack and without speaking the language. And I've been here for a year and a half. I spent the entire pandemic living in Mexico. And you know, I created, well, the situation allowed me to create with my communities connections that, well, I mean, for the love of all things that matters in this world, without all that happened to me to lead up to this point, then the moments I found myself in every moment today, yesterday, today, a year ago, a month ago, tomorrow, whatever point in time, all of that stuff results in it results in the right here, right now, except for tomorrow. But I can just make tomorrow what I want it to be because why the heck not? Who could stop me? Only me. I choose to make tomorrow better, so tomorrow's better.
Nice. You know, we have such limiting beliefs here in the U.S., and I know that I suffer from a lot of that. There's just so many layers of just stuff, and sometimes I wonder, hey, what if we just got away? What if we just, you know, got away from the culture, got away from the hustle bustle? You know, we have all of our knowledge and our accrued skills and life experiences and just go to, like, Vietnam or New Zealand or Italy or something like that and just live, you know, do stuff from there.
Know what, brother, if I may?
Yeah.
There is, I don't like using the word problem, but there's something not okay back in the United States.
Yeah.
And you said, you actually nailed it a minute ago when you talked about you can go somewhere and experience a different culture. That's the thing. You're not experiencing an actual culture in the United States because the trauma recovery, mental health definition of culture is really like like a community of people who identify with similar ideals, you know, beliefs and values. Mm-hmm. And American society does not fit that definition because we don't identify as having, as being a people with similar ideals, beliefs and values. We actually just don't. And it's because of that, that we have so many issues, because it allows us to be fractured and then manipulated. And then with the advent of the pandemic, which exposed that American society was wholly propped up and dependent on the illusion that convenience and comfort equaled like the American way. Well, when that collapsed, the illusion collapsed, people faced reality or began to have to face reality, and all heck broke loose. So I encourage anybody out there to see what happens when you leave. Just remember, if you don't do the work on yourself, when you go somewhere else, everyone's going to know like that you're that way, unless you're actually doing the work to become better. Because when you grow up in the United States, you're indoctrinated into something that you're not even aware of. And it's this idea that you're better, that we're better, that we're number one, that we're better than everyone else. Mm-hmm. But in reality, we're not. In fact, right. Most people know that outside the United States. And I highly recommend all people listening to this. I hope your lives collapse like mine do, because it'll give you the opportunity to then find out the lessons that I have learned to become happy.
Right. Well, I mean, I hope that they can learn those lessons without their lives collapsing, but I see what you mean. And I totally understand. And I mean, you know, we think of America as, hey, yeah, we're a melting pot, you know, and then we take in people and they just kind of become part of the melting pot. And it's like, we're not melting. We're not like mixing together into some like homogeneous mixture where, you know, every new person changes the overall flavor. It's like, no, we're 50 states that are acting like individual countries that just pretend to get along with each other, you know. And I don't want to get political, right? But it's like, no, we're not. It's absolutely not as seamless and smooth as even we think it is. So I understand what you mean. I've just recently started getting kind of a bad taste about how things are going as far as, you know, elections and just fighting and bickering. And it's like, it's just taking a sharp uptick. So it's something we're thinking about. We've thought about it. I guess the first step would be, we got to get some passports, but aside from that, everything else is just an engineering detail.
Yeah. You know, it's good that people have to face the reality.
Yeah.
It's not anti-American or anti-democratic or anti-patriotic to speak truth to what your situation is. And additionally, just to clarify my comment from a minute ago, I said I hope that, you know, everyone's lives fall apart and then you can do this. Yeah. And then you had a little bit of a clarification saying, well, you know, we actually don't hope people's lives fall apart. But let me clarify on my end. I'm not sitting up at night saying to myself, oh my goodness, I hope everyone's lives collapse.
Right.
No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is your lives do collapse, and then you find it within yourselves to create what you were born to create. Maybe that life collapse was necessary for you to be truly happy. And once you know what the life collapse is all about and you find out who you are, those are the kind of people that I become really good friends with. So When I say to somebody, I kind of hope your life collapses, that's because you'd probably be a really good friend if you got through it. And so those are the kind of people I have in my life. So I say that with, well, truthfully, a bit of seriousness, because I know the result of it, but also because people matter. And if your life does collapse, or if there are things that are happening that aren't so fun, remember the comedian from Family Feud, the host, one of the hosts of Family Feud, Steve Harvey, if you guys can look this up, but he did a little bit in between a taping of one of the Family Feud shows where he talks about having to jump. And sometimes when things aren't going the way you want, you have to just take a leap of faith. And that's exactly what I did. So much so that I made a recording of myself talking about it. I sent it to Steve Harvey, but he hasn't responded yet. But we'll see what happens. But that's the truth. So I kind of do hope that people out there who think their lives are really great, maybe because you had some money, you had some support. I don't have any of that. Then my life collapsed and I needed it even more, didn't have it. And then here I am today. So, you know, there's a benefit from losing it all. Probably I'm better off than a lot of people as far as happiness goes, mm-hmm. and my perspectives and how I want to be in the world, because I know what it means to be done. I know what it means to be nothing, yeah. in the eyes of capitalism. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you end up finding a lot about yourself as well. And I think that we don't realize how strong we really can be. You know, when we get into this mode of, yeah, everything's pretty easy. You know, you make six figures, you get 2 weeks paid vacation, you got a roof over your head, you got a mortgage, yada, yada, yada. And then when things do come apart at the seams, you get an opportunity to really test your mettle. And a lot of people never get that chance. They just kind of wink out, you know, live the American dream, right? Work 40 years and retire and just live out your days, essentially waiting to die and never getting a chance to find out what you're really made of. But you've found out what you're made of and you came out the other side shiny. I love it.
I'm having a pretty good time. I mean, what did I do today? I woke up. I watered my plants. I pat a cat. I went for a walk. I had a $2 meal. I did a bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. I went to a cafe. They didn't have any to-go cups, so they sent me home with the mug that I had to return. And now I'm talking with you. And there's a cat that I adopted from the street eating food as I speak out of a bowl. And then in a little while, I'm going to talk to my therapist, because – any sane human being only became sane because they went through some really, really, really tough stuff. So I work on that every day. Mm-hmm. So she helped me with that. And then later I'm going to go talk to a friend and get a tattoo or something to that effect. And that's my day. I'll do a little bit of work, get a little bit of stuff done. Well, remember, what's truly important? Peace, happiness, taking a deep breath, you know, just... I was once taught by a very, very special, brilliant woman. She said to me, let the emotions like pass through you like weather patterns. And I used to think she was crazy when she told me that. But no, actually, she was correct. So that's a gift to give to everyone right there. Just let it all happen. Because the more you fight sometimes, certain things, you lose. And another context or other aspect of life, the more you fight, you win. But it's about knowing what you're fighting for and why.
Having the right goals in mind and knowing where to spend your energy is key. It's funny that you mentioned mindfulness, because I literally just had a conversation with our 9-year-old daughter yesterday. And I noticed that there's a tendency for her to get angry about certain things. And then she lashes out and yells at her sisters. And I said, let's have a chat. I said, I got something I want to show you. There's a getting to be a pretty good friend of mine who is also a previous podcast guest. She sent me this video about mindfulness and I watched it and I said, you know what? I learned something in here about when a situation comes up and it makes you feel a certain way. You know, eventually you get a decision where you have to say, all right, I'm going to change my behavior because of how the situation made me feel. And the example in there was anger. And the situation was, hey, what happens if somebody cuts you off in traffic, right? Well, you're going to sit there and you're going to think, I'm pissed. And then you're going to get actually angry and get pissed and start yelling. And it's like, well, instead of doing that, let's take a step back. You know, what's happening in your body? Well, my chest feels hot. My ears are turning red. You know, my scalp itches. You know, I'm feeling these things. And it's like, all right, well, you don't have to become angry because you feel those things. You can,
right.
You can choose to just let the feelings pass through you and respond to it with a level head. And eventually it'll pass. You'll feel better and you'll have a clearer understanding of the situation and realize, huh, I don't have to waste my energy thinking like that. So,
yeah.
And I mean, she's nine. So, I mean, it's not, she didn't be like, wow, thanks, Dad. And just overnight, she became like a mindfulness guru. Like, we're working on it. But the fact that we're able to do that, nobody taught me that when I was a kid. Nobody ever taught me that. I had to learn it. I'm almost 40. I'm going to be 40 next month, man. So
they tell us that, well, you're obviously a great dad. So your family is very lucky to have you. And, but you're right. They didn't teach us that when we were kids. And if they didn't teach me that, and they didn't teach you that, that's probable that they didn't teach most of us from back home that. So we have a lot of issues now that we wouldn't be having, like, as a people, as a society, if we learned this stuff. So here's an interesting anecdote about that. Here in Mexico, now I'm a white guy, but here in Mexico there are white Mexicans. Mm-hmm. I actually pass in many ways, and people often have no idea that I'm from the United States. My point is, you can't just get into an argument with somebody with like road rage here or on the street, because you don't actually know. That person doesn't care at all about life or death. You don't know if their brother is the police chief. You don't know if they have been to, you know, some sort of, you know, jail because they did something, but they paid somebody off. We live in a society where this is actually very common. And you don't just get into arguments with people on the street because they cut you off, because they might just get out of their car and shoot you, not to be so, you know, gruesome about it. But right. That's one way you learn really fast that our society that we come from, that you're still living in, teaches you that it's absolutely okay, A, to be rude to somebody, but B, to then get in their face about it, and whatever happens, happens. Yeah, here, that gets you killed. Yes. So, big change about how you conduct yourself. You have to shut up. You have to quiet down, because there's consequences for not. Right. They're different than back home.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's part of the entitlement that we seem to have here. You know, going back to what you said before about we're indoctrinated with thinking that USA is number one. And it's like, well, maybe in some areas, but not all of them. You know, we're not just across the board the leader in every single thing, right? Like, yeah, we're number one in COVID cases. Hey, we got that going for us, right? So, yeah, like, we're the best.
I'm a very international person, so I see what lots of people say. I'm mm-hmm. connected to many. And, you know, I think it's sad that in the United States we've been turned against each other, and yep. we didn't realize it for so long, and now we're mm-hmm. at a breaking point that's appears to be only breaking more. And that's how societies are manipulated in order to control them. And it's unfortunate that a massive life-destructing society, you know, damaging and lots more pandemic, something of such a massive proportions, is what was necessary to force, you know, a growing amount of American people that they have to face this reality that yes, we have this situation going on, but more than that, what does it mean, and what does it teach us? And either you take the lessons, you recognize that you're being educated on something by the circumstances, or you don't. And that's what being an entrepreneur is all about anyways, because it you have to just, you don't know what you're doing really. When you start, you just have to do it. And then things happen, and then you just have to do it. Things happen, you just have to do it. Well, the entire planet has been forced into a situation, including back home, that you just have to do it. And sadly, we're way behind back home than we are a lot of places. Like here in Mexico, you know, the country, it's impossible to lock down because it's an informal economy. So you just deal with loss. You deal with discomfort. You deal with restrictions. But ultimately, everyone's going to get up more or less the next day and keep doing what they're doing. And everyone's trying. we have much less resistance than we do back in the United States. And life has gone on a lot better than it has been going back home. I know that much. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're still having, you know, different counties that are right next to each other with different levels of restrictions, and it changes every couple months, it seems like. So I think we'll get there. It'll just take us a while because we're a stubborn people, man. You know that. But we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Not always for our own benefit, but
right. Right. It can be a blessing and a curse for sure. Shoot, man, I just looked at the time and I got so engrossed in talking with you. And I think we're going to be in contact. You're a special guy. And I mean that. And I keep close to people like you.
Thank you very much.
Anytime, man. And I've even got some people that I'm thinking, I'm like, I need to get him in touch with this person and that person. People that have had similar life experiences and just are colorful people. And then people that are also real deep into the mental health space. I'm going to introduce you to a couple people if that's okay. I mean, you seem like a pretty open guy. Is it okay for me to introduce you to these different people?
I'm not antisocial, nor am I pro-social. I'm just somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
So I always welcome people and I do my best to connect.
Awesome.
Yeah. I just do my best. We're all human beings.
That's cool. I agree. We are all human beings. We're all in this together. Well, how would people find you? Like, if they wanted to reach out to you and be like, you know, I really need to talk or just have somebody to listen, like how would they reach out to you, Craig?
Here's the thing. Like, I don't know if I can swear on your show or not, so I'm just not going to do it unless you say so.
Okay.
But I'm a pretty screwed up person. And so, like I survived the impossible to get here. Mm-hmm. So I do well reach out to me to get support and to connect with my what I have to offer, but also just be mindful that I actually walk the talk. And because I walk the talk, it means in order to be able to talk, you have to walk it. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, I'm about to publish a new book called The Craig Lewis Guide to Surviving the Impossible. Well, if that's what the book's called, and if you've listened to this 30-minute conversation, more or less, you probably get the sense that I know a little bit about something. That's not so easy in life. So y'all, welcome to reach out to me, but also I'm just a guy who just found a way to pull himself out of the pit without much help and is still a person who struggles in many ways. So, yeah. I have a new website that's being built right now. I don't know when this show is going to go live, so it needs a couple weeks or so before it's ready. But I guess, do we have a couple weeks before it goes live so I can tell it to you?
Yeah, we do. We usually put these up beginning of the next month. So we're recording this in January. It'll go up February 1st. So we got time.
Awesome. So the new website's called CoachCraigLewis.com. CoachCraigLewis.com. And it can also be reached at punxinrecovery.com, punx.in.recovery@gmail.com. And I'd love it if anybody who wanted to reach out to me to especially find out about the books I've published, because I've been publishing books about mental health recovery, trauma. And also I have a storybook written by 27 punk rockers, because I'm a punk rock kid around the world. And this coming month, January, well, the month we're in now, I'm publishing two new books, The Craig Lewis Guide to Survive the Impossible, which is going to help people change their lives for the better. And also Your Crazy Volume 2, which is an anthology of about 20 punk rockers from around the world sharing of their lived experience of surviving mental health trauma and addiction. And yeah, I have a whole empire that I'm creating, and I'm glad to have people who want to support it and be part of it and benefit from it. Please do.
Awesome. So is it Lewis, L-E-W-I-S or L-O-U-I-S?
L-E-W-I-S.
Okay. I guess right the first time I'm like, well, I'm going to pick one. It's 50-50, but I just did it. I went and did the thing. Entrepreneur. Yes. Awesome, man. Well, this has been fun talking with you, bud. Like I said, I never know going in what's going to happen, but I really think that you're a special guy. And I, I want to keep in touch with you. I'm going to keep in touch with you. I keep in touch regularly with like most, if not all, podcast guests. There's always something that comes up that I'm like, hey, I think this person would be interested in this. And there's a lot that I think I can do to add value to you as well, sir. So you've helped me tremendously. You've helped me tremendously. I've had like the biggest smile on my face, you know, while we're talking, and I'm like, man, this guy gets it and he's living the life. And I love cats, and you have cats, and I'm jealous.
Well, I'm my cats are community cats. You can always come down and hang out with them. And I'm grateful to make new friends. You did a very good job of preparing me for this podcast, even though I have a lot of experience with this stuff because of the way you did things. It forced me to kind of like settle down a little bit and try to focus on, you know, making it a really good conversation, you know, to be helpful and to try to be mindful of my answers so we can benefit the people listening. And I thank you for providing an opportunity for me that forces me to be better. So thank you for that, my friend. Thank you for that.
Anytime. And consider me your friend, man. You made the cut. I'm going to let you hop off and then enjoy the rest of your day. And we'll definitely keep in touch. All right. I look forward to continuing the conversation. All right.
Peace. Rock on. Have a great afternoon.
All right. You too, man. Take care. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.